Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode. I'm so glad you could join me. Happy Sunday to you. Hope your weekend is going well. I hope the rest of your weekend goes even better. So today we are going to be talking about thirsty people. Yep, thirsty people. And thirst is one of those things that is a great metaphor for deep reality. And so, of course, I'm going to use it for our discussion today. You know, in fact, the only thing more desperate than a person without water is a person without air. I mean, if exhalation is not immediately followed by inhalation, we will die within minutes. So exhalation is not just letting your air out. It's actually the first thing before you die. It takes a new breath in to keep you alive. You ever think about that? I mean, if we're not given water, we're going to die in days, 2-3 days, sometimes even less, depending on where you are or what your environment is. And since so many of us actually live with great access to air and water, we easily forget the fragility of our existence. But just ask an asthmatic what they think when they're having an attack, right? All of a sudden, the air that we take for granted is not so easily forgotten, right? So a desperately thirsty person is not their best self. Can we just agree on that? I mean, let's think about it. A person who's dying of thirst is not really going to bring their A game. I mean, we lose brain function when we're thirsty. When we're dehydrated, we become irritable. We have headaches, abdominal pain. We become weak. We greatly diminish our physical and mental ability because we're dying. You see? Now, I share all this because thirst, like I said earlier, is a wonderful metaphor that describes our condition of insatiable longing. Have you ever realized that about yourself? You're always wanting something. Inevitably, we all thirst for something, and that thirst often disorients our soul. Yeah. So Scripture uses thirst as a soul metaphor, just like I did, or I am going to. I mean, thirst represents an aspect of suffering in our life where we desperately seek satisfaction. See, we either neglect to drink and suffer thirst, or we long to drink but are not satisfied. And the passages in Scripture that kind of speak to that, there's one in Psalm 42 that says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's Matthew 5:6. And there's another one in John 6:35 that says, whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So this is getting at something beyond our need for water. This is getting at something that says we have an other need, a spiritual need that is required. Now, is it true that God satisfies the longings or deep thirst in our hearts? Now, if you ask a believer, a religious person, somebody who defines themselves as a person of faith, They're going to tell you, absolutely, God satisfies the longings in my heart. There are still a lot of unanswered prayers and longings, though. Or the satisfied longing gives way to a new longing. And so there's an aspect where they still remain a bit unsatisfied. Now, to be able to answer whether or not it's true that God satisfies such longings, I mean, this can only be answered experientially. You can only know the answer to that if you have experienced some sort of spiritual satisfaction. Oh, sure, we can get a theory. We can bring up theology. We can draw out a doctrine or a dogma. You know, but all those can only inform us of the kind of thirst and how it could potentially be quenched. But those things cannot actually quench it. Only an experience of our thirst being quenched, our spiritual thirst being quenched, can actually do it. And that takes an encounter. Of course, this follows then that there are two categories of people that emerge. Those would be the thirsty who have yet to have such an experience, and those who will drink of this experience more and more. Like I said, sometimes one experience gives way to a new one, which they want satisfaction for. So which of those two are you? Are you the one who has yet to have a satisfying experience, or one who continues to drink, seeking more satisfaction in the experience? You see, the unmet human need, thirst, that is, takes countless forms. I mean, the deepest soul-level needs are identity, acceptance, and validation. Now, we may not even recognize those as needs in our life, but think about it for a second. We think we want the promotion with the big title, the big job title, the big pay and raise, right? Their raise and pay. But what we're really wanting is validation. We want all those people to see that you made it. We want the kudos, right? We want to be accepted into a new group of people. We've always thought of ourselves as a big time leader. And so that job gives us an identity that we've hungered for, right? See, behind all the things we want is really our deep soul-based needs for identity, acceptance, and validation. And we think we want wealth, but what we really want are options or power or freedom. You see, a thirsty person is not their best self. A desperate person has wandered from their soul. So when you get, and I get, distracted and caught up into a need or a desire or a want, our wanter goes crazy, and we go after something, it's a thirst. And it's so easy to think that the job, the relationship, the vacation, the whatever is going to quench that thirst. But be warned, it's a soul-based need, and it can't quite get there. But this helps us see something. When I said a thirsty person is not their best self, that is for you, that is for me, but that's also for those others. Can you see the asshole driver out there who cuts us off to get just one car length ahead? Maybe he's not a total jerk. Maybe she's just thirsty. The thief who stole from us to gain advantage is thirsty. The corrupt politician, as much as we hate them, is thirsty. The abuser, the addict, are any of these you? Are you thirsty? What about the isolated, the person with the anger problem, the manipulator, the lonely, the greedy, the poor, the perfectionist, the rich, the controller? All of these thirsty people. all these pain points, all these things that we hate, all these things that we would love to rid ourselves from, are those things that emerge from a thirsty person, a desperately thirsty person who has wandered from their soul. You see, we can all imagine the world slightly better than it is. And the solution to the problem, of course, is not to just get rid of those people. Those people are the way they are because they thirst spiritually. Thirst cannot exist unless a satisfaction for it also exists. And here's why. I mean, thirst is the negation of satisfaction. And it's discomfort, right? It's unsatisfaction or dissatisfaction. It's the negation of it. And it, because it's such, it can't exist on its own merit. It can't exist without satisfaction. So if there is thirst, there has to be something that quenches it. You know, we go through life trying to satisfy our deepest thirst with the strangest things. I mean, think about it. The search means that a soul-level satisfaction certainly exists. And we discover soul-level thirst is not quenched with externals. That's what a problem is. It's trying to solve a deeper issue with a surface solution. Yeah, we have to solve it. We have to go deeper. And if you want to learn how to go deep, just check out my podcast or visit my post online at thriveinexile.com and do a search for The Descent. It's a multi-part series where I'm going to show you how to go deeper so that you can mine the depths of your life. Because this thirst, really, what it is, thirst is the suffering that results from skimming over the depth that is our life. Thirst is to take our lives for granted. Satisfaction is possible, but it will require an earnest spiritual journey. What all sojourners have discovered is not a puddle or a pool or a bottle of Fiji somewhere. No, they've discovered that below us lies an enormous aquifer, an endless aquifer that flows into a fountain, the scale of which is beyond any of us, and it's beyond what we can possess. And be warned, let me just tell you straight up, the best of religion can only point you to its own man-made path to this aquifer, but it cannot take you there. The worst of religion will trap you into systems that Jeremiah the prophet calls hewed out cisterns that can hold no water, Jeremiah 2:3. So upon contact with what Jesus called living water, soul-quenching satisfaction, one sip will displace the pursuits we once thought would fulfill us. If we venture far enough down and we take a deep drink, it will wreck every single false notion of ourself. Every little flag of self-importance will come down one by one the more you drink. And if you plunge yourself into this fountain, you, like me, will forever be bringing others to the source. The water and its satisfaction are free, but they do come at a cost. The cost is our surface-based self, some would call it the false self. That's got to die. The ego has to go. Humility has to show up, or you can't quench the thirst. Now, that can be scary at first, and perhaps that is why so many people will prefer to thirst. My prayer is that won't be you. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.